Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, September 18th, 2016. The impact of Yom Kippur on the rest of the year as reflected in various halacha contexts.
Yes, I thought that. Okay, we can begin?
Yeah.
Okay. So before we begin, the shir today is Le'ilui Nishmas, Rachel Bat Harav Shlomo Yukatil Zalman, and Leah Bas Moshe Aryeh, and Shamos Shnav Ali and Shemayim. It's always really a pleasure to come, to share Divrei Torah before some of the Chagim, and it's always very meaningful to observe the art sites as well. So today's topic is a little bit different than our typical topic, in that usually we focus on a single issue. Today, what we're going to do is talk about a few different issues, and the point is to try to see some of the patterns, I guess, across different topics regarding a very basic and I think a very important, although in some respects a subtle question, and that is the relationship between Yom HaKippurim and the rest of the year. So to introduce this, let me begin with the pasuk in Achrei Mos. The parsha, of course, in Achrei Mos is the parsha of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, in the aftermath of the terrible, tragic death of the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Abihu. So the Torah tells us that Achrei Mos, after the death of and you have the whole parsha. And as I said, it's introduced by the terrible background. So we have the entire Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and of course this is the essential focus of the day of Yom HaKippurim. The entire Masechet Yoma, practically, with the exception of the last chapter, is dedicated to fleshing out the details of Avodas Yom HaKippurim by explicating the psukim here in Achrei Mos. And therefore, the beginning, I always like to say, the beginning and the end are of particular significance. Whenever you have a, especially a seder, something that has a structure, so the tone setter, what begins is important, and the climax is always important. So the beginning, after the background of the Misas Shnei B'nei Aaron, very interestingly enough, is Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Daber al Aaron Achicha, Al Yavo B'chaleis al HaKodesh, Ribeis LaParoches, El Pnei HaKaporos Asher al Aaron V'lo Yamuz, Ki Be'anan Eira'eh, Ala Kapores. And what is this Anan that is viewed on the Kapores? So Chazal say right away, and Rashi quotes it as well, that this is a reference to Midrasho Lo Yavo Ki'im Be'anan HaKtores B'Yom HaKippurim. Right away, the first thing that we are told about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is that the reason that only Aaron HaKohen can enter the Lifnai V'Lifnim, and then there's a debate which maybe we'll have a chance to discuss, whether he could only enter on Yom HaKippurim or he was able to enter during the rest of the year as well and under what conditions. But either way, the problem and the issue is Ki Be'anan Eira'eh Al HaKapores, because of the special role of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, especially the role of the Ketores, the special Ketores of Yom HaKippurim. And this Ketores plays a very prominent role. There's a special exchange of begadim and avoda b'bigdei laban, just to bring in or take out the ketores from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It has certain special daka menadaka, certain special status. The ketores is certainly the first thing that is alluded to in the avoda, and also it plays an extremely prominent role in that process. That's the beginning of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The end of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, as described in the Torah, we'll get back to the connection between the beginning and the end in just a minute, is the when the Torah finishes the entire process. So we're told, V'haysa zos lachem l'chukas olam l'chaper, this is Perek Tezayin Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the last Pasuk before the Torah moves on to other things. So when everything is all said and done, this looks like a superfluous pasuk because everything has been described, and we've been told that this is Yom Kippur. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem l'tahar eschem mikol chatoseichem b'fnei Hashem titaharu. Very important and prominent pasuk in the avoda and in the day. Shabbos shabbason hilachem b'nisan esnafshol seichem chukas olam. Even the phrase chukas olam has been repeated. And then v'chiper hakohen asher yimshach oso asher yimalei esyado l'chahen tachas aviv lavash es bigdei habad bigdei hakodesh v'chiper smikdash hakodesh, and so on. And then finally that last pasuk, which seems superfluous, v'yisos lachem v'chukas olam v'chaper al b'nei Yisrael v'kol chatosam achas bashana and v'yas kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe. What kind of ending? It seems more like an anticlimax than it is a climactic, dramatic moment. We have the beginning and the end, and if we look carefully in Shmos, in the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, where I think we encounter something interesting, and that is that when the Torah first introduces the Mizbeach HaKetores, and by extension the Ketores itself, this is in Parshas Tetzaveh. Interesting, the first time when the Torah speaks about the various kalim in the Beis HaMikdash, it has everything delineated with the exception of the Mizbeach HaKetores. It takes till the end of Parshas Tetzaveh to introduce that V'asisa Mizbeach Mikdar Ketores Atze Shitim Tase Otso, and then you have the whole description of the Mizbeach HaKetores, and I think there's very good reason for that, but not for right now. V'hiktor Alav Aaron Ketores Samim Baboker Baboker Behetivo Esaneros Yakti Rena, the role of Ketores in the daily Avoda, which is done again, interspersed with the hadlakas neros, with the menorah. Also fascinating. It's done every day. Ubahalos aronas haneros bein arba'im yakti renu ketores tamid lefnei Hashem ledoroseichem. This becomes a tamid, and then we're told lo salu alav ketores zara the olo mincha. However, you should be careful that when it comes to the ketores, in particular, that there shouldn't be ketores zara, which, by the way, is a clear reference also to what will be the story of Nadav and Abihu, because they brought Ketores Zara, and that of course is the background of the Avoda. The Nesach lo tisko alav, and then we're told v'chiper Aaron al karnosav achas bashana. Very strange pasuk that ends this whole section. Midam chatas akipurim achas bashana yichaper alav ledoroseichem kodesh kodashim hu lashem. All of a sudden, and all the Mefarshim are intrigued by this, some are troubled by it, some are inspired by it. All of a sudden, we have a reference here when we talk about the Mizbeach HaKetores and the Ketores itself to what takes place on Yom Kippur, V'chiper Aaron al Karnosav Achas Bashana, Midam Chatas HaKippurim Achas Bashana, Yechaper Alav L'Doroseichem, Kodesh Kodashim Hu L'Hashem. So why, in the middle of discussing the Ketores, more so than anything else, are we informed that this is the Mizbeach in which there will be a special avoda on Yom Kippur? There's also allusions to the special role of Ketores on Yom Kippur, perhaps. Why is this the ending of this parsha? But for our purposes at the moment, what stands out is the phrase Achas Bashana. Achas Bashana is the phrase that dominates the last pasuk of the Avoda, the seemingly superfluous pasuk. What it really adds is the idea of Achas Bashana. And this same exact phrase, at least it occurs to me, Achas Bashana appears twice in this pasuk, which introduces Yom Kippur and the Avoda of Yom Kippur into the very creation of the Mizbeach HaKetores. And I don't think that is a coincidence. And I think what it establishes is that right at the beginning of the Avoda, which again alludes to the Ketores, we're brought back to the Psukim in the context of the Mizbeach HaKetores and the Ketores that refer to what will be happening on Yom Kippur. So basically, it's Achas Bashana right from the beginning of the Avoda, and it culminates once again with Achas Bashana. And the role of the Ketores is extremely prominent in this, as are other things. So what is the idea of Achas Bashana that appears three times in these two psukim and that is connected to the beginning and the end of the Avot? So what I'd like to say, the thesis, I guess, of the day is that basically Yom Kippurim can be looked at from two perspectives, and I think the right way to look at it is that there is a certain dialectic between these two and that both are critical and that we really need to integrate the two. The phrase Achas Bashana, right, could really be understood in theory in two opposite ways. One is to emphasize the first... I'm sorry?
There are two times in this pasuk. Where's the third time?
It appears twice in Tetzaveh.
Yeah, where's the third time?
In the end of the Avodas Yom Kippur. The last pasuk of Avodas Yom Kippurim reads, if you want to read it again,
in
Achrimos. Yeah, in Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk, the final words of the Avoda, the Hoysa Zos Lachem L'chukas Olam, even though we've said this already, L'chaper al B'nei Yisrael Mikol Chatosam, Achas Bashana. Okay, that's Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Lamed Aled. And in the context of the Mizbeach HaKetores, those are the last words describing that you're going to use this, you're going to bring some special avoda on Yom Kippur is going to take place in the Mizbeach HaKetores on Yom Kippur, even though we're not talking about Yom Kippur there. And there's a reference also to the fact that the dam is spread to the middle of that. It's the only time that that's done in the Mizbeach HaKetores. But in that pasuk it says twice, Achas Bashana. Achas Bashana can mean one of two things. One is... or both. I'm going to suggest it means both. Achas Bashana is to emphasize the first word, Achas, meaning this is a singular day. There's no other day like it. There's only one day in the year like Yom Kippur. And the truth is that our instinct is that that is the proper way to highlight this phenomenon. Right? There is no other day like Yom Kippur. It breaks so many rules. In the world of Korbanos, it breaks rules. In the world of Tefillah, in the world of Tshuva, as we'll discuss, if you had to pick the most singular day of the year, it would certainly be Yom Kippur in every way. It's the day of Kulal Hashem. It's a day where we imitate Malachim. Chazal, as we know, throughout in the Medrash and in the Gemara, work very hard. They labor very hard to establish that people are superior to Malachim. Right? And all sorts of wonderful Gemaras and Chazals about how the Malachim wanted to receive the Torah. And we know that human existence is more challenging. And in the end of the day, the capacity to raise the level of human existence is something which is far more impressive than the more limited and one-dimensional life of a Malach. And yet, when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's a day of Kulal Hashem. All the balance is thrown out. We imitate Malachim. We stand. We reduce our sleeping. Baruch Shem Kavod Machlosel Le'olam Vaed. I don't have to accentuate what's singular about Yom Kippur. Everything about it is really different. It's Achas Bashana. I've always had the theory, which is certainly not accepted by all the Makoros, as we know, that every Yom Tov has a Yom Tov Sheni, right? And Yom Kippur does not. By that I mean, in the olden days, when they had Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah and they really had a Safek, they probably had to figure out some way to really fast on that second day, and there's information and evidence that they did. But as we know when the Kviya D'Yarcha is, so it's more of a Gzeira, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, or a Minhag, Minhagal Seinu B'Yadeinu, but we don't apply it to Yom Kippur. Yerushalmi says, and many of the Rishonim elaborate this, because fasting for 2 days is not very enjoyable, certainly. Some people think it's a sakana, and therefore, for very obvious reasons, there's no Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. I always thought that there might be another dimension to it, or if it wasn't for this other element, then maybe we would have found a way, eat chatzi shir, at least, to kind of pay lip service to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. And that is because it's Achas Bashana. The idea of having, two Yom Kippurs, even as a fail-safe, again, they have to do it when there was a real Safek Daraisa. They had to figure out some way to do it because they just couldn't, take the risk of not really observing Yom Kippur properly. But
in terms of the benefit of having a minhag avoseinu biyadeinu, it comes at too high a price. I don't mean health-wise at the moment. Meaning it undercuts a little bit, you know, what you're able to bring to Yom Kippur as a single day of the year and as a single day experience. And I think there are many other expressions of that. So in one sense, it's achas bashana. The avoda is different, the tefillah is different, we allow piyutim and hefsekos in tefillah that we normally would not, and the whole Yamim Noraim experience and the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva experience in terms of Hagdalah HaKadosh, all sorts of other rule-breaking rules. There was some Gaonim who used to say the Chein Tein Pachtecha for the entire period. Obviously, we don't do that. But clearly, the concept of Achas Bashana, underscoring the uniqueness of Yom Kippur and the opportunity that it provides, is something which is clear. On the other hand, when you say that something happens once, instead of saying it's only once a year, it's an exclusive day, it's a unique day, it's an inimitable day. The other way to read the words Achas Bashana is that this is part of the calendar of the year. It's not a bubble. It's not something which is somehow separated from the rest of the year. But Achas Bashana, this is part of the calendar. We know it's coming, and we anticipate it, and we follow through from it. It's very much integrated, into our Luach Hazmanim. It's a day of the year, and it belongs to the rest of the year as well. And there are indications of this, too. After all, in the end of the day, Yom Kippur is integrated into the Parsha of the Moados, right? Parshas Emor, which delineates all of the Chagim, all of the Moadim. Ela Moadei Hashem begins with Shabbos, and then transitions from Chag Matzos, or really from Korban Pesach, and then Chag HaMatzos, according to the sequence of the year. And included in that, sandwiched as it should be between Rosh Hashanah and Chag HaSukkos, is Yom Kippur. So even as the Torah presents Yom Kippur as something which is singular, and again, especially the Avodah in Parshas Achrimos, but there's also good reason to think that this is part of the Moadim. And indeed, it's possible that all three of the Tishrei Moadim are particularly integrated, as the Ramban notes in his Perush al Torah in Emor. If you just look at the, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, Bachodesh Hazeh, the Ramban has several diukim, other mefarshim, others, to try to show that there is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur are certainly connected, maybe Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos are connected. I've always suggested that Yom Kippur and Sukkos, if you look at the psukim, are almost parallel opposites, which brings them together as two sides of the same coin, in a way, Yira and Simcha. So even as Yom Kippur is treated as something which is singular, it's also part of the Chagim. And what I'd like to suggest today is that really both of these elements are true. The reason that we can focus on Yom Kippur as Achas Bashana, as a unique day, is only because it also, in addition to being the most singular day of the year, is the most relevant day of the year. It's the day without which the rest of the year would not be possible. The indispensable linchpin for Avodas Hashem all year round is Yom Kippur. We anticipate it, and we follow up from it. It's both Achas and Achas Bashana at the same time. And I'd like to just demonstrate this, we don't have so much time, quickly, in several halachic issues, particularly Shitas HaRambam, in certain things which I think demonstrate that in addition to the uniqueness of Yom Kippur, there is also the impact, anticipation, and follow-up of Yom Kippur. So let me begin with one, I think, very intriguing example of this. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Masachet Yoma that, as we know, that the Kohen Gadol presides over the Avodas Yom Kippur. And the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be married. Shivas Yomim, this is the first Mishnah on Yoma. Shivas Yomim Kodem Yom Kippur Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Beis Lishos Pahedrin Matkinu Lo Kohen Acher Tachtav Shema Yerub Apsul. Rabbi Yudomer Af Isha Acheres Mitakinu Lo Shema Tomus Ishto Shenem Vekiper Bado Bad Beiso Besozu Ishto, Omolo Imkein Ledover, Ein Ledover Sam. To debate whether or not we prepare another Kohen Gadol under these conditions or not. But basically, whether we prepare another woman to become his wife. Basically, the Gemara goes on to discuss the fact that the Kohen Gadol needs to be married in order to preside over the Avodah, Beso, but he can't be too married. I don't really mean that. What I mean is he can only be married to one wife. This is pre-Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, obviously. He cannot be married to more than one wife. Okay. So this halacha that a Kohen Gadol is supposed to be married but only to one wife is actually formulated in the Rambam, or not formulated in the Rambam, in a very unusual way. There is no halacha in the Rambam which states that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. The Rambam, just in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur, describes, as if it is part of the definition of a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the fact that he is married. It has to be presided over by a Kohen Gadol Nasui. That's a little bit strange. However, much more strange than that, if we're comparing, is the fact that the is the fact that the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim nowhere declares the din that the Kohen Gadol cannot be married to two women. And indeed, the Midchas Chinuch asks this question. He says, I don't understand why the Rambam omitted the din that a Kohen Gadol can't have two wives. Why did he omit that in order to perform the, in other words, Avodah on Yom Kippurim? Why did he omit that in the Yad HaChazaka? That's a question Midchas Chinuch asks. However, the truth is that the Midchas Chinuch didn't omit it. Just give me one second. The Midchas Chinuch didn't really omit it. Instead, he did something. The Rambam didn't really omit it. Instead, he did something a little bit peculiar, and that is he formulated it, but seemingly in the wrong place. So the Rambam, there are two Rambams to note. Just one second. The first one is in Hilchos Yisurei Bia Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Yud Gemo, where the Rambam says Mitzvah Saseil Kohen Gadol. This is in Hilchos Isurei Bia, so you can understand what it is, meaning it's talking about the prohibited relationships generally. And this part we're speaking about Kohanim and Kohanim Gedolim, right? A Kohen cannot be married to a Grusha, and so on. So a Kohen Gadol can only be married to a Besula, he can't be married to an Almana. And the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseil, Kohen Gadol, Sheyisa Nara Besula. And then he says, Umisha Tivgar, Tassar love shenemar hu isha bibsula yikach isha loktana bibsula lo bogeres pine hoketzad yosas michal katnus chalbagar salba zunara. The ena no say, says the Rambam, this is the key part, shtei nashim liolam kiachas shenemar isha achas velo shtayim. So this is very strange. This limud isha achas velo shtayim, we're not familiar with it. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Rambam is establishing in Hilchos Yisurei Bia that a Kohen Gadol cannot have two wives at the same time. The Ravid jumps in, says, Omer Avram, lo nischavra zos hasvara. This doesn't seem to be true. Shelo omru b'masechet yoma, daf yud gimel amin aleph, ela beso omer achmana velo shtei batim. Right? That's really the makar. It says beso and not batim, not because it says isha achas velo shtayim. The Efshar Shalonesa B'Shtei Nashim Ela B'Yom HaKippurim. We only know this halacha in the context of Yom Kippur. Shalayim Shach Libo Achareim B'Yom Olidei Tuma. Okay, that's the Ravid's suggested explanation why it is that a Kohen Gadol can't have more than one wife. Aval, then he concedes in the end, Hadas Nosenes Kain. On the other hand, it does make a certain amount of sense. Why? Kedei Shelo Yitzdarech Legarei Sherev Yom Kippur. Ela shani motze vayisa lo yehoyada nashim shtayim, right, vayivaleid banim ubanos. So he has a kasha from Divrei Hayamim. Okay. But basically what emerges from the Ravid, what the Ravid is pointing out is, number one, there's no such makar, in the Gemara at least. Number two, we don't find anywhere such a din that a Kohen Gadol cannot be married to two wives generally. And we do know this halakha in the context of Yom Kippur. So the rabbi basically says, listen, it makes sense. I mean, what, the Kohen Gadol is going to divorce one of his wives, you know, every Erev Yom Kippur, right? That seems peculiar. So probably it's better that, you know, that he not be married to two women. Okay. But that is a very pragmatic, obviously, consideration. The Rambam does mention, just one more second, the idea that that this is a particular problem for the Avodah. He does mention this, unlike in Minchas Chinuch, but he mentions it in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash instead of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim. In Perikei Halacha Yud, Ram says Ukvar Biyarnu B'Sefer HaChamishi, which is Sefer Kedusha, in Hilchos Surei Biyah, Shehu Asur Balmana Umitzuva Al HaBesula Ve'Eina Nosei Shtei Nashim. Of course, it's also interesting that the Rambam here, right, repeats the whole thing, right? Not only the Shtei Nashim part, but the prohibition of the Almana, the Tzivui on the Besula. Sounds like it's all connected, right? According to the Rambam, it's not all connected. It may not be true to begin with, but if it is connected, if it is true, it's because of Yom Kippur, right? That's not the impression to get from the Rambam. Vim nasa shtayim, says the Rambam, ene yochal lavod biyom hatzom, ad shigaresh achas. Right? In terms of the avodas Yom Kippurim, it's ma'akev. And then he goes on and he finishes the halacha. So the truth is that the Rambam does quote this halacha. But in a way, it's even more peculiar because if this is a din in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, so why is he only mentioning it in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash and in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, drawing from Hilchos Yisurei Biyah and making it seem as if this is connected to his obligation to be married not to an almana but to a besula, and to one but not two women. So the Rav in the printed Kuntres on Avodas Yom HaKippurim was bothered at least by the Ravid's issue. Where does Rav get this halacha from? And he suggests, he points out something else, which is that typically in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, the Rambam's shita is that whenever there is a violation of some sort, kiddushin alone is not sufficient to trigger that violation. It's kiddushin and a physical relation. Kiddushin would be like almana for Kohen Gadol, Gerusha. How come when it came to Shtei Nashim, this din, the Rambam doesn't mention that this is a violation only if there's a ma'isa biyah? It seems like that's not the case. So the Rav wanted to suggest the following idea, and that is that really what the Rav was trying to tell us here is something very profound, and that is the din that you can't have two wives is really a din in Avodas Yom HaKippurim. That's where the Babli, Talmud Babli, develops this idea, and because of that, you cannot have two wives, according to the Rambam, not just as an Eitz HaTova, all year round, because the definition of a Kohen Gadol is also an individual who is roi to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. In other words, anticipating his role on Yom Kippur is part of the Hagdara, part of the definition of a Kohen Gadol. And that's, I think, a very profound idea. And for this reason, what's important is not, it's not an Yisurei Biyah, even though it's mentioned there, and therefore, it doesn't have the usual rule of kiddushin ubiya, not kiddushin alone, because it has to do with the qualification of the Kohen Gadol. It's not an isur biya per se. I like that very much. I think it has, you know, it resonates with me very much, and I think it has other parallels too. But I would like to take this in an opposite direction as well, and I don't think this is sira. I think it's a din in achas bashana. Because in the end of the day, what impresses me is the fact that if this were the only part of the story, then the Rambam still, or the main part of the story, then the Rambam should have developed this halacha in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. In other words, the real halacha is a din in Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and because a Kohen Gadol is somebody who has to be roi lavod b'Yom HaKippurim, therefore it applies kol shana as well. But that's not how the Rambam presents it. He really presents it as a din in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, right, which is repeated, and the only time the Avodas Yom HaKippurim part is mentioned is in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash.
For that to be absent in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim is more than surprising. So I think what the Rambam really has in mind here, and again, it's just, I don't think it's a stira, I think that both of these things are true, is the following idea. And that is, we know that the makar is that you can't have a kohen gadol who has two wives on Yom Kippurim. That's a pagam in the Avodah. But instead of that being the cause, that is a reflection. In other words, what the Torah, or what the Rambam understood the Torah to be saying, is that if you are allowed to have a kohen gadol married to two wives all year round, then probably on Yom Kippur it would make no sense to say that that was a pagam in the Zavoda. That basically the status of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, right, is not only that which drives the hagdara of kohen gadol all year round, but the standards for what a kohen gadol is supposed to be all year round are consistent with a more intense application of those standards on Yom Kippurim. And for the very same reason, again, the rest of it is the same. That's why it doesn't depend, it's not a violation of Yisurei Bia, it has to do with the Hagdara of a Kohen Gadol. But I think that's also why the Rambam doesn't quote Xeris HaKasu to say that the Kohen Gadol is Nasui. And that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Pli HaMikdar says that Hu Osur Balmana, Mitzuva Ala Basula, Einan Osa Shtei Nashim, he puts it all together. What he's saying is you have to have a certain level of marital, let's say, ideal in terms of the Kohen Gadol and what that represents in terms of both his stability and his values. That's who a Kohen Gadol is. And it's for that reason that on Yom Kippur, right, we go even further and say that he can't do the Avodah. That's the day of the Kohen Gadol. It's not that the Kohen Gadol is only defined by Yom Kippur. It's that what can be done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is an extension of who he really is, with some competing agendas, which we'll discuss, all year round. So that's one example where we have the idea of, on the one hand, Achas Pashana, but on the other hand, Achas Pashana, meaning the status of the Kohen Gadol all year round is an indication or reflection of all of this. I think that this might be Lishitaso of the Rambam in general, but I think of another Rambam as well. The Gemara in Yoma discusses the problem: how do you appoint the new Kohen Gadol? So when they had the Shemana Mishka, they used to, you know, use that to anoint the Kishmo Keinu. They used it for Melech, they used it for Kohen Gadol, they used it for Kli HaMikdash, they used it to invest Kedusha in the Kohen Gadol. However, when they didn't have Shemana Mishka, they operated with the principle of Ribui Begadim. So the Rambam says here in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Umimanim Kohen Gadol, Hu Rosh Lekol HaKohanim, Moshkinos of Shemana Mishka, Umabishinos of Bigdei Kohuna Gadola, Shenemer VaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, etc. Then he says, the Ein Sham Shemana Mishka, if there is no Shemana Mishka, the period where there wasn't, Mar bin Oso, Bigdei Kuhuna Gedola Bilbat, Shenemar Asher Yitzak al Rosho Shemana Mishka, Umileas Yado, Wilboshes HaBegadim, Kashem Shemisraba B'Shemana Mishka, Kach Misraba B'Gadim. This is the other way of investing Kedusha on a Kohen Gadol. Ketzad, Mar bin Oso B'Gadim, how do you do this? Lovesh Shmona B'Gadim, Poshtan, Kozel Vavshan, Lemachar Shivas Yamim, right? Every single day for 7 days, Yom Achar Yom, Shenemar Shivas Yamim Yil B'Shem HaKohen, Tachtav Mibanav. U'Kashem Sheribi B'Gadim Shiva, Kach Meshicha B'Shem HaMishcha, Shiva Yom Achar Yom. And then the Rambam says, V'im Avad Kodim Shisrava B'Gadim, Kol Shiva, O Kodim Sheimshach, Kol Shiva Avodaso K'sheira, Hol V'Nisraba O Nimshach, Tamachas Nasa Kohen Gadol L'Kol Dav. Rambam says that even though you're supposed to wait 7 days, right, before the Kohen Gadol begins to do his avoda, but the other, once he has Ribui B'Gadim or Meshicha B'Shem HaMishcha once, that will be sufficient. So the Ravid jumps in here. So it sounds like the Rambam thinks that typically, right, you need these 7 days for Ribui B'Gadim, L'chadchila, and otherwise the Kohen Gadol should not be Oved, unless, again, we're talking about Yom Kippur, where he gets replaced on that day, so on. Omer Avram, Nir Midvarav, Yamim Sharibui Vameshicha Bahan, that in the days of his process, let's say, of investment, Lo Haya Oved, that he wasn't supposed to, ideally, he should not be Oved. The Ein Zeh Min HaChachma, says the Ravid. Elikisha Amru, and the Gemara says in Yoma, Nisraba Shiva, Vnimshach Shiva, the Beinan Shiva Lechatchila, Hani Mili Lavodas Yom HaKippurim. Avalavodas Osan Hayamim, Bechol Yom, Oved Bishmona Begadim. The Ravid says the evidence of the Gemara Yoma is only with regard to Yom Kippur. It's not with regard to any other Avoda. So how does the Rambam extrapolate from Avodas Yom HaKippurim to anything else? That is the Ravid's question. But I think that, before I get to that, let me just mention, of course, according to the Ravid, what really emerges is the uniqueness of Yom Kippur, the Achas part of the Achas Bashanah. And the question is, why is Avodas Yom HaKippurim different than any other Avoda? There could be many explanations. The Rav actually thought that this was one of the indications that the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur isn't Betoras a Kohen Gadol alone, but it's Betoras Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. The Rav liked the language in the Piyutim of Tachas Aaron HaKohen. The idea that sounds that way in the Psukim at the end of Acharimos of the Parsha too, Tachtav Mibanav, that basically the category on Yom Kippur isn't Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is the replacement. It's a din in Aaron, Bezos Yavo Aaron. So this is a din in Aaron. After all, Aaron, when he was first appointed, so Moshe Rabbeinu served those first days of the Miluim. So it's a din in Aaron a Kohen that he had to wait. It's interesting, actually, the Radvaz here, Alatar, asks against the Ravid, what are you going to do? Why only Avodas Yom HaKippurim? The truth is that apparently Aaron a Kohen, when he first became a Kohen Gadol, he also had to wait 7 days. He had to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu had to step in, and he had to wear this chaluk, in order to do the avoda. So you see that the Rambam is right. I always thought that wasn't such a good proof. Again, according to the Rav's idea that this is a din in Aaron a Kohen, that certainly would solve the Radvaz's problem. I don't know if that's what motivated him, but that certainly would solve the problem. I also thought always that there was another point, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, there are different versions in Chazal. Some of them say that Moshe Rabbeinu was always slated to give the Kohuna Gadola to Aaron, and others say that he was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, and that the transition of the Yimei HaMiluim is basically his handing over what otherwise would have been his. I always thought that even if Aaron HaKohen was always supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, ideally, that nonetheless it was important to begin the institution of Kohuna Gadola, albeit in a slightly different way, with Moshe Rabbeinu, because of what Moshe Rabbeinu uniquely brought to the Kohuna Gadola. So Aaron was the ideal Kohen Gadol, but it had to be initiated by Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why, in that particular case, even according to the Ravid, even if you don't say this idea of Tachas Aaron HaKohen, that really is just a singular situation. But in general, there seems to be this debate between Rambam and Ravid whether the limud that l'chatchila, you shouldn't have the Kohen Gadol being oved without 7 days of Mishicha or Ribui Begadim, is that Dafka Din in Yom Kippur, or is it something that applies l'chatchila throughout the year? I think that the Rambam, and this is l'shita, so that all things being equal, notwithstanding what's unique about Yom Kippur, the idea is that Yom Kippur just emphasizes more, accentuates more, what the Kohen Gadol is all year round. And therefore, once again, according to the Rambam, we have the not only Achas part, but we'll call it the Achas Bashana part as well. So I think it's also very curious that the Rambam, when he describes the dinim of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, so it's just very fascinating to me, at least, the way that he begins. Again, if I were writing Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and it's a good thing I'm not, because we would have lost some of these nuances, so I would have started Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim,
with a literary flair, and you know, by emphasizing the achas part, frankly, meaning what is unique about the avodah of Yom Kippur. I would have started by speaking about the ketores daka min adaka, you know, like the psukim actually allude to, or the shnei asirim, a particular favorite of mine, you know, the big day lavan, the knisa lefnai velefnim. But there's no short the. You know, the par and the sire of, you know, of par in the aisle, rather, of the Kohen Gadol. There's no shortage of dramatic, unique dimensions of Avodas Yom HaKippurim to emphasize in the beginning of Hukas Avodas Yom HaKippurim to establish what it is. Instead, the Rambam really is very prosaic in the beginning here. The Yom HaTzom, which is also just interesting, we all know what day Yom Kippur is. This is the Rambam's way of saying, you know, you have to look at the day of Yom Kippur and the Avodas Yom HaKippurim as something which is also connected to Hilchos Shvisas Asar and the other dinim, the more typical Moed dinim, the Emor dinim, let's say, of Yom Kippur. It's true there's a parsha of Achrei Mos, and Achrei Mos, you know, is disconnected from all of the Moedim. It's just Achas, Achas Bashana in that sense. But you should know, B'yom HaTzom, there's also a Tzom here, which is also, of course, referred to in Achrei Mos, but especially which is an analyzed in Emor, where Yom Kippur is firmly ensconced with the Ach, and my view of how Mikra Kodesh is used. There are hints in the treatment in Torah Shabbat Tzav of Yom HaKippurim in Parshas Emor, that it is different than any of the other Chagim. But at the same time, it's in that parsha. So the Rambam begins B'yom HaTzom, right? To also look at Hilchos Shvisas Asar in Sefer Zmanim. But then he says Makrivim Tamid B'Shachar B'Tamid Beinu Arbaim K'Seder Kol Yom B'Yom. What a beginning, right? You can almost, you know, hear people yawning. I don't mean that literally. I personally think it's very exciting. So meaning, you start off, you know, B'Yom HaTzom, already diluting it a little bit, maybe. But certainly, the first thing you're going to tell me is Makrivin Tamid B'Shachar V'Tamid Beinu Arbayim K'Seder Kol Yom. Well, why would you have thought otherwise? That's part of the Achas. Maybe Yom Kippur is so unique that there's not even the Tamid Shel Kol Yom. Or is the point more, of course, that's true, but that's also the first thing to talk about. Namely, Yom Kippur is the most unusual day of the year, but there's also continuity with the rest of the year. That's part of what makes it so powerful. So there's a Tamid Beinu Arbayim, and in case you missed it, Keseder Kol Yom V'Yom. So okay, now we got that out of the way, so let's get to the Big Day Lavan and the Knisa Lefnai V'Lefnim. No. Umakrivin Musaf HaYom. Okay? Every Moed has its Musafim, and they are mostly delineated in Parshas Pinchas, right? So in Parshas Pinchas, you know, with together, that's like Emor is, you know, a Parsha which includes all the Moedim, so is Parshas Pinchas. It has the Tmidim, then it has all the Musafim, right? The Ketores, Makrivim Musaf Hayom, Parva Ayil, the Shiva Kvasim, Kulanolos, Seir Chatos Nasa Bachutz, Vehu Nechala Erev. Then, finally, Va'od Makrivim. And even then, Yeser al Musav Zeh, right? Pardon Bakol Lechatas, Unisraf, that's a rule breaker. Ayel La'ola, Shneim Mishal Kohen Gadol. And that's only Yeser Me'ala Musafim. Okay. And then, Ayel Haba Mishal Tzibur, Ha'amur, the Parsha Sachar Mos, Hu Ha'ayel Ha'amur, B'chumish P'kudim, B'chal al Musav, Hu Nikra El Ha'am. This whole El Ha'am issue, right? There's a debate in the Gemara whether or not the Ayel that is referred to in Parshas Pinchas is the same ayil in Achrei Mos or not. And the Rambam says, we paskin, very important to know, that we paskin that the Eil Ha'am in Parshas Pinchas is also the Eil Ha'am of Parshas Achrei Mos. What's going on, and why did the Torah write it in such confused or interesting, you know, fashion? I think the answer is, and the Eil Ha'am in both Parshios is a way of integrating the Avodah. There's the Tmidim Shel Kol Yom, there are Musafim. It's true that there's Yeser Ala Musaf, but even that's Yeser Ala Musaf, the Korbanos of the Kohen Gadol. And then we're going to get to the other Korbanos of Avodas Yom HaKippurim of the tzibur, but you should know that there is an overlap between Musafim and Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The own Mevi'in Mishal Tzibur, Shnei Sireizim, Echad Karev Chatos V'hu Nisraf, Hasheni Sira Mishtaleach. Now we're getting to the, you know, to the core of the Avoda, but this is just the odes. Nimtzu, and here's the best part, right? Kol HaBehemos HaKreivim B'yom Zeh, Chamisha Asar, I mean, all of us can count. Why is it important for the Rambam to tell us that there are 15 animals that are brought as a korban? Shnei tmid, and then he lists them again. Shnei tmidim, par, shnei elim, shiva kvasim, kulanolo, shnei sirim, chatas, right, echad bachutz, benechal erva, sheni nasa bifnim v'nisraf, pare koin gadol lechatas v'hu nisraf, avodas, all of them, 15, are different elements here, and they're all one. Then comes Allah Habes. Avodas kol chamisha asar, behemos elu hakreven biyom zeh eino ela b'koin gadol bilvad. There's a big debate among the Rishonim how to read the Gemaras at the beginning of Yom. How much needs to be done by the Kohen Gadol on this day? And again, one would have thought that the Tzmidim, the Musafim, all the generic, you know, daily or Yom Tov Karbanos don't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol, right? Yet, everybody agrees that L'chadchila, at least, the Kohen Gadol does this. As a Chiyuv, seems like, according to the Rambam, Ramban, at least the Ritva quotes the Ramban as thinking that the Chiyuv for the Kohen Gadol to do this is Drabanan, but maybe the Kiyum is Daraisa. Echad Kohen HaMashof HaShem HaMishcha, O HaMeruba B'Begadim. Then the Rambam says, V'im Hoysa Shabbos, Af Musa Shabbos, Ein Makriven Osor LaKohen Gadol. That's a Kiddush, doesn't appear anywhere. The Nosei Kalim discuss it. If Shabbos coincides with Yom Kippur, says the Rambam, the Musaf of Shabbos also should be done by the Kohen Gadol. How do we know that? Well, why should it be different? I mean, everything is being done by the Kohen Gadol. Well, you might say, every Yom Kippur, in every Yom Kippur, there's Tmidim, right? There's Musafim, right? And there is the special Avodos of Avodos Yom HaKippurim. But the Musaf of Shabbos actually is seemingly a total coincidence. So even if the Kohen Gadol has to preside over that, maybe it's another way of saying that this is such a unique day, everything, you know, all the regular avodos subsumed under it become kind of, in some sense, quasi part of the avoda. But you can say that about Musaf Shabbos too? Maybe. Or is it just it's the day of the Kohen Gadol and therefore we don't care what? Or something else. V'chein shar ha'avodos shel yom zeh, kegon haktaras shel kol yom, hatavas haneros, hakol b'kohen gadol nasui, this is what I was referring to before, as an agav, it doesn't say, oh, by the way, the kohen gadol needs to be nasui, this is part of the hagdara, shenemar v'chiper ba'ado, ubad beso, beso, zu, ishto. So what I'd like to suggest about all of this, you know, clearly based on what I'm saying, is that this is all part of this dialectic of Achas Lashon. On the one hand, the Gemara and the Raya of the Rambam formulates and is telling us that when you're going to be Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnin, and you're going to be, you know, bringing Torah's Daka and Adaka, and Shneas Irim, one which is going to be a rule breaker, Bachutz, one which is going to be a rule breaker, V'Lefnin, and Shavim V'Kambasam of the Mara, all those things, when you're about to do that, the rest of the avoda that gets done that day cannot help but be transformed by the proximity, the framework of all of it. It all becomes part of the avodas Yom HaKippurim. The ayil ha'omur, the parshas, Pinchas, right? It's important to know that's the same ayil that is integrated into parshas Achrayim. But the same is true, and therefore you need a Kohen Gadol. At least in Katila, you need a Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol has to preside over the Avoda, he has to preside over the rest of it. But I think equally, at the same time, what's happening is, not the Achas part of the Achas Bashana, but the Achas Bashana part of it. This is the Halacha's way of conveying that while Yom Kippur is going to be unique, and there are going to be rule-breaking and experiences here, which just defy the regular rules and that elevate karbanos and the experience to a different level, At the same time, it's critical that there be continuity for Tmidim Shol Kol Yom, and that the Isle Shev Achremos also be the Isle of Pinchas, not just that the Isle of Pinchas also be the Isle of Achremos. And for that reason, the Kohen Gadol presides over all of it. Because the truth is that while the Kohen Gadol doesn't preside every single day, right, Lemaisa, but the Minchas Chavita, this is part of a larger story but not for now, especially according to the Rambam again, the Minchas Chavita of the Kohen Gadol kind of establishes that the Kohen Gadol is related to the process of Karbanos every single day from the beginning almost to the end of the day in the Beis HaMikdash. And the fact that he doesn't have to share, he can be obeyed anytime he wants, is a way of showing that the Kohen Gadol Kol Shana has a special status in the Avodah. And therefore, it's not just that the Avodas Kol Yom becomes part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and therefore the Kohen Gadol's role is necessary. It's that on Yom Kippur we also show that Kol Shana's Karbanos and Kol Yom's Karbanos are also uniquely linked to the Kohen Gadol. The truth is that the day of Yom Kippur is a day of 5 tevilos and 10 kiddushin. And what that really constitutes is that there's a lot of changing going on. What do they call it? When you go to a store? The dressing room? Is that what it's called? Whatever it is. There's some phrase for it, I guess, in the fashion world. There's a lot of changing from one suit into another, obviously from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zahav. And hey, Tvilos and 10 Kiddushin. And it's fascinating that we look at it that way, because part of the time you're changing not from Big Day Zahav to Big Day Lavan, but from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zahav. Right? That's equally part of the equation. One would have thought that only the Lifnai v'Lifnim, or the Big Day Lavon Malachos, the ones that are B'dieved Ma'akev with the Kohen, only those should be the ones that we focus on as being critical to the Avodah. But if indeed what we're trying to do is elevate Avodas Kol Yom and Kol Shana, but at the same time to try to show that Avodas Kol Yom and Avodas Kol Shana, right, itself is part of the story of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, we're trying to say Achas, and we're trying to say Achas Bashana at the very same time. If that's really what's happening, then the Hey Tfilos and the Eser Kiddushin is something which makes a great deal of sense. So having said this, and my time is getting very short, so let me take this. I think there are many, many other examples of this, in particular with regard to the Ketores, I'll say, but I don't want to go into details. I think I did a Ketores here once, right? Is that you indicated? So, you know, Ayin, I guess it's, I don't know if it's on the base Medrash or Bergen County?
PCBM.
Yeah, we'll have to catch up with that one day. But whatever it is, what I'd like to say about the Ketores, or what I did in the past say about the Ketores, if you look very carefully, is number one, the Ketores plays a unique role in the Avodah. As I say, Ki Be'anan right from the beginning, and the rule-breaking, and the Chamesh Tfilos of Esekidushin. And I think for good reason. But the connection to Parshas Tetzaveh, and the reference there, double reference to Achas Bashana, and to the Mizbeach at the Torah, every day of the year is created with Yom Kippur in mind. And every Yom Kippur, it's the Mizbeach at the Torah, whose role every single day is part of its role on Yom Kippur. That has a special din of Achas Bashana, and therefore the Daka, Minad Daka, and all of that is kind of the, instead of being something totally unique and separate, is kind of the uber Torah, if you will, and there's a lot of evidence of that. But what I do want to do, a couple of minutes that I have, is to try to show that this theme is not only limited to Avodas Yom HaKippurim, even though it's extremely prominent and I think easily identified there, as we just have in like 4 different instantiations of it. But as I said, it's fascinating that the first words of the Rambam in Avodas Yom HaKippurim is the words B'yom HaTzom, which brings us to Shvisas Asar and also to the concept of tshuva. So just one word about the tshuva, or not word, but one little vignette on tshuva and one about Hilchos Shvisa Sasa. So with regard to tshuva, everybody is familiar with the problem of the Rambam, the problems of Shitas HaRambam. And again, it's possible that I've spoken about this more at length here. I'm guessing that I have. But let me just share this briefly in as an example of this. The Rambam, as we know, emphasizes vidui very prominently in his description of tshuva. And that's very mechudash. Very... the Rambam is taking a very different kind of position. If you look at the Gemaras, you don't get that impression. If you look at the those who came before the Rambam in describing the concepts of tshuva, you don't get this emphasis. But as we know, the Rambam did. Obviously, he had something very specific in mind. In the Koteret of the Chos-Tshuva, it's a little more ambiguous. He she yashuv hakotei mechato lefnei Hashem v'yisvadeh. And then in Halacha Aleph, kol hamitzvah shebetorah bein aseh bein losaseh yamav adam malachas mehen bein mezonim bein b'shgaga kishe yaseh tshuva v'yashuv mechato chayv lehisvados lefnei akel baruchu shenemar isha isha ki yaseh mikol chatos ha'adam limol ma ba'ashem oshma ha'nefesh ahi v'hisvadu eschata sama sharasu zed vidui dvarim. The whole din of the Rambam is to place great emphasis, to accentuate vidui in the process of tshuva. Again, in the Koteret, it sounds like hu sheyashuv, right, v'yisvadeh, and the Mabit, for example, says it means both. It's a double, or it's a two halves of the mitzvah. In Halacha Aleph, it sounds like kishe yaseh tshuva, when you do tshuva, the mitzvah then is vidui. And as we know, this is very, and then the Ram goes on, and he describes what the vidui is, ketzet mitzvadeh, Omer ona Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha asisi kach vekach hari nichamti uboshti b'masai le'olim eni chozol l'davar zeh, and so on. So there are a lot of problems, and there are a lot of discussions about this. So those who felt that tshuva and vidui were just two parts, two components, according to the Rambam. There are all sorts of issues. We know that in order to neutralize your psul edus, for example, it doesn't seem like you need vidui in order to be considered a tzaddik. Gemara says in kedushin, right, that hir b'tshuva is sufficient. And again, the minchas chinuch and earlier sources on the minchas chinuch and many later sources in minchas chinuch all discuss this issue in the Rambam. The Rav Zatzal famously suggested, based on the Koteret and the Halacha Aleph, that there's a difference between the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyuma mitzvah. All good explanations. I have a little bit of a different take on this issue. But for today, I'll just give you my take briefly, but let me just put it in context. And that is to note just one thing. And that is that while the Rambam doesn't speak about the obligation to do tshuva, he speaks about, in the beginning, in the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos and Halacha Aleph, he speaks about when you do tshuva, or in the process of tshuva, the obligation to do vidui. There is one exception in Hilchos Tshuva to that posture, and that is in Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Zayin. Here the Rambam says, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'Kol Yochid L'Rabim, famous language of the Rambam, beautiful language of the Rambam. Yom Kippur is the time of collective and individual tshuva. Who kates mechilo slicha liYisrael, right? It's the last opportunity of mechilo slicha, and then he says, lefikach. Therefore, chayavin hakol lasos tshuva ulhisvados biyom kippurim. And therefore, you're obligated to do tshuva and to do vidui on Yom Kippur. And then he adds, umitzas vidui Yom Kippurim sheyatchil me'erav ayom kodem sheyochal, and so on. And then Halacha Ches, he says, Habidui shenogu b'kol Yisrael, aval chatanu, hu ikar avidui. Okay, so there are several problems with the Rambam. Number one is, if the Rambam really thinks that vidui is so prominent and there's no chiyuv tshuva, there is just a din, when you do tshuva, to do vidui. Why does he say here in Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, that on Yom Kippur, which is the Zman tshuva l'kol yachid l'rabim in the Ketz v'chilo l'slich l'Yisrael, l'fika chayavin Lasos, the only place in Hilchos Tshuva or in Yad HaChazaka, as far as I know, where he speaks about the chiyuv to do tshuva. So you might have thought, excuse me, that there are two mitzvos in the Rambam. And typically, you know, if the Rambam introduces two chiyuvim in a group of halachos, so we should look at the koteret or in minyan mitzvos. I would have expected to see that, you know, hu sheyashuva chotei micheto v'yisfadeh is one, and on Yom Kippur there's a chiyuv to do tshuva and in sefer mitzvos. But of course, we all know that the Rambam only has one mitzvah in Hilchos Tshuva, and it's the one that he already mentioned. So what happened to this chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? Moreover, the Rambam says that the vidui shenagu b'kol Yisrael is aval chatanu. But in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis and so on, the vidui that he describes is a much longer vidui. So what's with that? So the Rav's uncle, Sefer Avodas HaMelech, and I think he's not the first person to suggest this, says, when the Rambam says aval anachnu chatanu, what he really meant was aval anachnu chatanu v'chule. Okay? Etc. In other words, look in Perek Aleph and you'll get the full text. It doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. It's not the way he normally talks. It's certainly not the way the Ramah understood it. When the Ramah quotes this halacha it's clear that he thinks that the Nusach HaVidui is simply to say Aval Anachnu Chatanu, and the question is why. The Mabit says, the Tshuva of Yom Kippur is based on Rachamim, and therefore you don't need such a long vidui. Interesting. Very nice. What's going on here? So what I'd like to suggest is very simple, and it is based on the following. The vidui that the Rambam describes as the centerpiece of tshuva, kol shana, in the beginning of Perek Aleph, as others have also noted, based on the Gemara in Yuma, Lamed Vav, and the Sifra, seems to be based mostly on the vidui that the Kohen Gadol says in the context of Avodas Yom Kippur. So that's quite interesting. So what really is happening here? So I think that what the Rambam really meant was that Kol HaShana, right? There's no particular time pressure for tshuva. Tshuva is a mitzvah, as the Rambam puts it, the Gemara says, every day is a time for tshuva. Any time is a time for tshuva, and you shouldn't leave it till the last moment, and so on. However, tshuva per se is basically initiated by the sense of merit. In other words, the obligation to do tshuva is not an independent mitzvah per se. It's, as Ramban puts it, a person, you know, just quite logically, should not be omein b'nirdo. Right? If you destroy your relationship with someone, and certainly with the Rabbono Shel Olam, so the destruction of that relationship, the state of being, you know, in a rebellious mode vis-a-vis that person who you need to have a connection with, motivates you to do tshuva, right? Some of the Achronim ask, well, you know, maybe every chet, no matter what it is, should be pater mimalkus, because it's always lava nitha glase of tshuva. In a way, it kind of highlights the problem. But obviously, we know that's wrong. The question is to explain why it's wrong. But the point I'm trying to make is that for the Rambam, the obligation to do tshuva is a no-brainer. It's a way of righting the wrong. It's a way of putting the relationship back where it should be. So if you ask me, and this is typical of the Rambam, the reason that the Rambam emphasizes vidui in the context of tshuva is because typically when your tshuva is a response to your maisa avera, so that's just a response. That's just about neutralizing the chet. That's a no-brainer. You don't need a separate mitzvah for that. But if you can take the opportunity of the distance that you feel, the sense of alienation, the sense of being omein b'mirdo, and you can transform that into a spiritual opportunity to reassess your sense of dependence, your reliance, your raison d'etre. What is the purpose of your life on this, you know, fleeting existence on earth? And then you realize, oh my, you know, what gives all this purpose is what I've been jeopardizing. Therefore, you come to a certain epiphany, a certain understanding of where your life should be. That's tshuva. That's tshuva which isn't just the neutralization of chet. That's a tshuva which puts you in a different place. It makes you a baal tshuva. So how do you do that? Not by doing tshuva per se. That's a no-brainer. That's just the response to chet. By the methodology of vidui, meaning when you can externalize this, express it, and you can examine it in a very uncomfortable way, the busha, the nechama, the charata, the kabbalah lahaba, and it's serious, meaning how can I be mekabel lahaba unless I come to a certain conclusion which is transformative of my present, otherwise it's just platitudes and promises. But if you can do that, and that's the bidui, which is patterned after the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, that is something which is true tshuva. And it's typical for the Rambam to emphasize a methodology as the way of highlighting what is unique about the Torah's approach to a certain mitzvah. Again, when the Rambam wants to explain the mitzvah of Ishus, or Kiddushin, or Gerushin, or Shechita, right? So typically what he's trying to say is the method that we use, Kiddushin before Nisuin, Aksav Lishma as a get. Shechita, which is, these are all big topics, taken from, you know, the world of Kadshin. The methodology underscores the ambition and the way that we're going about this is what highlights the Jewish approach. So the Rambam says, when it comes to Bidui, I'm sorry, when it comes to Tshuva, everybody has Tshuva. It's obvious. It's self-evident that you have to write your relationships. But the methodology of Bidui, right, which brings this self-therapy and this hard look and this reassessment of purpose, that approach to tshuva is the tshuva. That's what it means. V'hushi ha-tshuva kotein de-cheto, meaning that's a no-brainer, v'yisvader. And when he's doing tshuva, says the Rambam, he does it the derech vidui. And it's the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur. But when it comes to Yom Kippur itself, that's not a response to chet. That's a response to a time in the year. It's a day of Chol Hashem. It's a day in which we're supposed to turn our lives around, reassess. Started from Rosh Hashanah, right? It's Yeshua Shem Himatzo Karub Yasok Karov Elo Asara Hayamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippurim. In the context of that, we're reassessing everything. Of course, we're zeroing in on our particular flaws and misactions and so on. But it's bigger than that, right? And it's motivated by a different kind of assessment. So the Rambam says the only time of the year where there's a chiyuv is on Yom Kippur. The chiyuv on Yom Kippur and the vidui emphasis when you do tshuva as a response to chet, kol shana, these are two sides of the same coin. It's not two mitzvahs, it's one mitzvah. The chinuch says, if you squander the opportunity to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, that's the only time that you violate, it's like a bitul aseh of tshuva. All year round, it's the same tshuva. One mitzvah, also for the chinuch. Not like Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says that, you know, Lifnei Hashem Titaru is a special chiyuv tshuva on Yom Kippur, separate from Kol Hashanah. Okay. The Rambam and the chinuch only quote one. So why, according to the chinuch, do you mevato? Because the opportunity that you squander on Yom Kippur, and given the context of Yom Kippur, that's kind of a statement. So basically, I think that's also why it's enough to say aval nachnu chatanu zuikara tshuva, meaning the same reason that there's a chiyuv de-emphasizes a little bit the vidui. But isn't it fascinating that mostly that vidui of Kol Shana is inspired by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So in a way, what I'm trying to say is this ends up being achas b'shana. On the one hand, there is a chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and it even affects how we do tshuva. And I think it affects the al-chaitz and other things, but not for now. On the other hand, the point is that it's achas b'shana. Meaning that instead of saying there are two different dinim, there's tshuva shal kol shana and tshuva yom kippur, the Rambam avoided that. What he was trying to say was, it expressed itself differently if there wasn't the din of tshuva kol shana, which by the way, is based on the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, there wouldn't be a chiyuv of tshuva on Yom Kippur. It wouldn't be viable. So it's interesting, the Mishnah says in the end of Yuma, that ha'omer echta v'yashuv, right, echta v'yashuv, says it twice actually, ein maspikim biyado lasos tshuva. Right, such a person doesn't have assist him, or he's not going to have the capacity at the right time to do tshuva. That's what the Mishnah says. And that's how the Rambam quotes it. I think a paradox was tshuva. But the Mishnah also says, ha'omer echtav yom ha'kippurim b'chaper, ein yom ha'kippurim b'chaper. Here, I'm not relying on the Rambam. The Rambam just quotes Ha'omer Echtav Yom Kippur Makaper Ima Speakin Biyado Lasos Chuv, something like that. The Rambam integrates it all as one, but the Mishnah doesn't, and it always intrigued me. I just think it's interesting. Why in one it's Ima Speakin Biyado Lasos Chuv, and the other it's Ein Yom Kippur Makaper? But I think I'm inspired by the Rambam, even though in this particular case he doesn't go with this. But I think the idea is that when a person says Echtav Yashuv, Echtav Yashuv, that's bad enough. Ein Maspikin Biyado Lasos Tshuva. But if a person says Echtav Yom Kippur Mechaper, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, forget about the Ein Maspikin, because it shows that he doesn't understand what Yom Kippur is. He's treating Yom Kippur as if it's only Achas Pashat, meaning as if it's a standalone, unique bubble, which, you know, magically, mystically, it neutralizes all problems. But if you're going to sin all year round to rely on Yom Kippur, in addition to being cynical, or what the Meiri in the Chibur HaTshuva says is, oh, so your tshuva or your Yom Kippur becomes the reason for your chet. Right. But that aside, and that's part of it, but it betokens a total insensitivity to what Achas Vashana really means. If this is the case, Ha'omer Echta V'Yom HaKippur, if you don't understand that the Chiyuv on Yom Kippur and the Vidui Kol Shana are really two sides of the same coin, they're one mitzvah, then really you can't benefit at all from Yom Kippur. Okay. So let me just mention one final thing. I said I would say something about the Shemisa Sasar. Again, I'm sure we've spoken about this as a standalone theme, but the Rambam uniquely among Rishonim really projects the idea that Yom Kippur is singular. Vis-a-vis other Yomim Tov. As I say, there's an interesting, on the one hand it's in Parshas Emor, on the other hand it's treated totally differently than the other Chagim. The Mikra Kodesh is different, the Ach is different. Well, on the other hand, it's still in Parshas Emor. So if you look at Shulchan Aruch, Tur Shulchan Aruch, the Dinim of Yom Kippur are dealt with in the context of the Moadim. Right after, where you expect they would be, right after Rosh Hashanah, right before Sukkot, you have Dinei Yom Kippur. But as we know, the Rambam didn't do that. He has Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, and then he has Shvisa Sasar, and then he has Yom Tov. And if you look at the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam makes it perfectly clear. He says, oh, these are the Yom Tovin. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. Right? Yom Kippur is not one of the Yom Tovin. And I think that that's totally consistent with his views in Shvisa Sasar as well. So on the one hand, the Rambam, more than anyone, you know, really accentuated Hakas Pashanah. And I think that there are important consequences to the Rambam thinking that Yom Kippur is just singular. At the same time, it is fascinating that more than any other Rishon, you know, he took it away from Yom Tov, but he didn't completely, and Torah didn't completely take it away from Shabbos. And that in a certain sense, it's important for the Rambam that Yom Kippur, even if it's separate, but it's not Yom Tov, but it's a form of Shabbos. And what's more ubiquitous than Shabbos? Right? The whole concept of Kedushas HaZman and time, our daily life revolves really, as we know, there's a before and an after Shabbos, as the Ramban, you know, emphasizes even further. So in a way, what the Rambam did was, on the one hand, he emphasized the Achas, but on the other hand, more than anyone else, he emphasized the Bashanah. And therefore, the Shabbos Shabboson of Yom Kippur expresses that as well. And of course, maybe the most dramatic example of it, or got me so many svarim that I have to at least open up each one, and this will conclude, is in Perek Ches, Hilchos Erevin, Halacha Yud, when the Rambam, without Makoros, suggests that when there is a consecutive Shabbos and Yom Tov in either direction, in the time of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, that Shabbos and Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur and Shabbos and Yom Kippur, that there really is Kedusha Achas, that they really integrate into a single Kedusha. And that if you are setting up an Eruv Tchumin, you know, Lekula and Lechumra, according to the Rambam, you have to set, when you have a Shabbos and Yom Tov, or 2 days of Yom Tov, and we paskin that it's not Kedusha Achas, so the rule is that if you want to set up your domicile, you know, in one direction one day and the other, let's say it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you want to go to the east there and the west there, 2,000 Amos,
You can do that. But when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Kippur, the Rambam says that Yom Kippur Shachal Yos Erev Shabbos, this is Perek Tes Halacha Yud, Ola Achar Shabbos Bizman Shemikadshin Al Pi Re'iya Yirali Shehein Kiyom Echad Ukedusha Achasen. So on the one hand, the Rambam, more than anyone else, both structurally and substantively, emphasized that the Tzom is different, the Kedushas Hayom is different. It's not like a Yom Tov. On the other hand, he integrated it more fully with Shabbos. And it's interesting also that the only time that the Rambam ever quotes the Din of Tosefes Yom Tov, the Gemara has the Makor with regard to Yom Kippur. The Rambam only quotes it with regard to Yom Kippur. And there's a debate among the Achronim whether or not the Rambam just, you know, limits it to Yom Kippur, Achas, or he really thinks, well, if it applies to Yom Kippur, it certainly has to apply to other Kedushas Hayoms as well. Achas Vashon. So just to sum up, we've seen in numerous contexts, and there are others as well, across the gamut of Dine Yom Kippur, Avodas Yom Kippurim, Tshuva, the Dinim of Shvisas Asar, that on the one hand, Yom Kippur is a really sui generis day, it's a singular day, it defies any kind of analogy or any kind of comparison, but at the same time, even as that is true, and because that is true, it also needs to be the linchpin, the most relevant day of the year. And hashkafically, I think the reason is fairly obvious. Yom Kippur really is the day of Kulal Hashem. It's the day that establishes what Klal Yisrael is and individuals of Klal Yisrael are capable of. And the truth is that once you experience the heady spirituality, if you will, of Yom Kippurim, it's really difficult to reintegrate into the rest of the year, or when you do, to not feel like you are making a huge compromise in your commitment to the Rabbonu Shalom and your commitment to religious life. But the real understanding of Yom Kippur is that it's Achas Bashana. That if you can accomplish, you know, a certain status and standard of Lifnei Hashem, which also is the phrase used in the Chostuva based on Yom Kippur, reinforcing that theme. If you can accomplish what you need to accomplish on Yom Kippur, and you can understand that it's not divorced from, it's not that you can only do this once a year. If you had to, if you were called upon, you're capable of it, and you could do it all the time. So then the Kol Shana ends up being not a compromise, but in the end, a more ambitious way of living a human life, not a life of malachim. You can out-malach the malach, then being a human with that capacity and with that commitment means that you're much greater than malachim. The concept of chatzi lachem and chatzi lashem, when it's based on the capacity for, and it is really an expression of kula lashem, is a much more powerful spirituality than Yom Kippur is. And therefore it needs to be achas bashana in both of these senses. It needs to be in all three senses. It needs to be a unique bubble, a special day of the year. It needs to be a day which all year round you anticipate and you even kind of integrate as a possibility. But at the same time, it needs to be achas bashana. It needs to be a day which draws upon and also looks to have impact on the Tmidim Kisidron of the rest of the year as well. So we're in Chodesh Elul, and it's appropriate already to wish everybody a Ksiva Baksima Tova, Nishnas Chaim V'Shalom. May all of us benefit from the themes of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, both the unique ones, and its impact on all of us. Thank you. I know one of these days I think we're going to catch up on all these.
Do you want me to send you all the tapes?
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you want to listen to them, do you want the tapes me to send it, or do you want to listen to all of them? Because you have a
lot. Is it hard to send me both? Thank you.
I guess I can forward you the. I can forward you the tapes, the recording.
I'm trying to put some people ask.
Yeah, but eventually.
Okay. I'll try to do that.
It's not too hard. It's like mostly just...
I think you download them, right? I
can just forward you the emails.
Or the emails?
No, because eventually they. I can forward
are
you.
Are these on the YU things also, or this is the
yes.
Torah?
No, BCBM is connected to. Bergen County is connected.
Oh, Bergen County has everything. Everything in Bergen County goes on with YU Torah? Also?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Either way, maybe I'll have a happy. Come on.
Okay.
There you go.